and welcome to NSTA, The Bus Stop. This is the official podcast of National School Transportation Association, and I am Kurt Mackison, Executive Director. And with us today, we have John Benish, COO of Cook, Illinois, and NSTA President. But before we get to John, I just want to remind folks that the vendor partner membership renewals were sent out this week. So if you are an NSTA vendor partner, you will receive information or have received information about renewing your membership with NSTA for 2021. If you have any questions about your vendor partner membership, please feel free to call us in the office, 703-684-3200. And thanks for your support. Now, once again, we have John Benish. He's president of NSTA and also COO of Cook, Illinois Bus Company in the Chicagoland area. So welcome back to the bus stop, John.
Thanks for having me, Kurt. Good morning.
Well, great having you on as we head into the holidays and transition out of the year 2020, which I'm sure a lot of folks would be happy about. But, you know, for maybe some first-time listeners who aren't familiar with Cook, Illinois, why don't you tell them a little bit about the company?
Sure. We're a family-owned and operated school bus contracting company. Started in the late 50s. Actually, my parent and partners started the business around the Chicagoland area, transporting actual special education and regular ed students in station wagons. And so company got a little bit bigger in the 60s and 70s. And then, you know, the late 70s with suburban boom around the bigger cities. And so now we operate about 2,300 vehicles on a day-to-day basis. When school's going, we also do quite a bit of special education transportation. We do some shuttle work in some of the local airports, and we do a couple other related transportation, different situations around the Chicagoland area. We have worked out of state. I'm a second generation person in the business. I work with my brother and my three brother-in-laws, and also we've been NSTA members for, gosh, probably at least 40 years, maybe longer. And that was one of our big vacations in the summer, was going to the NSTA conventions wherever they were at. So I do remember that as a kid.
That's great. Now, you and I have talked a lot about the state of affairs around the country with respect to return to school. What's the latest update, at least in Illinois and the surrounding areas, about, you know, returning to school? You know, what happened in the fall as we, you know, move into winter, and what's on the horizon as we move into the new year?
Sure. So at the beginning of the school year, we were pretty optimistic about having, I would say, at least half of the districts going back to school in some sort of fashion. And that would have been some e-learning with some different staggered schedules, you know, 2 days a week, 3 days a week. So actually what turned out in around this area, especially in the Chicagoland area, we really only had about 20 to 25% of the districts going actually physical face-to-face. That kind of went up and down throughout the school year. As we got closer probably to October, we were more optimistic. We had more districts that were talking about going back to face-to-face learning. Turns out they did. We did have some districts try that. We maybe got up to around the 30% area of actual students going to school. And then probably about 3 weeks after that, so probably around Halloween, late October, early November, we had a spike in cases, as I'm sure most of the country did, and that fell off quite a bit. So we're still remained about 20% up until about now. The nice thing is that it looks like most of the districts in this area, especially in the Midwest, it looks like they're going to sort of restart the restart and start in mid-January. So that looks very optimistic. It looks like the week of Martin Luther King Day, either right after that holiday, there's going to be a big restart in this area. So that's good news.
Yeah, that is good news, John. And I got memo from the NJSIAA, which is our sports, you know, regulatory body in the state. And it looks like they're pushing spring sports back a notch. And I wonder if most places are going to do something like that. And then in areas where, say, there's a June 30th cutoff for school, they're going to push it back to the full limit to see if the vaccination or the COVID-19 vaccination, you know, does take hold. Do you see any of that where they would kind of push things back, but make sure that the kids get a full, you know, in-person or at least a half year in-person under their belt?
Yes, that's what it looks like. It looks like they're still teetering with the football season, but and basketball as well, but definitely the spring sports. It looks like that's going to be in some sort of play, which is great news. I think the important thing, not only, you know, the students missing school, they're missing the after school activities, the tutors, the tutoring, you know, the engagement in any types of sports, chess clubs, any math clubs. So any of that after school or in between school things that I think the students really miss, especially sports, but, you know, just a lot of the activities, plays and things, music. I think that's another thing too that's highly missed by the students and the family. So we need to get that rolling right away.
Yeah, and one of the concerns we have moving into a full return to the classroom is the idea that we'll have enough drivers, you know, to handle transportation to and from school, you know, at 100% basis, rather than the limited basis we've seen in the fall. But I guess the overall concern is that if we have to recruit new drivers, why don't you talk to the listeners a little bit about what that process looks like? Because we can't take someone, interview them, bring them off the street like other businesses, then have them be almost a full functioning, you know, contributor to the company, you know, right away. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, you know, that process and how long it takes?
Oh, gosh, sure. So, you know, back in the day when I started, and this is probably the early 90s, we could probably get somebody to fill out an application, conduct an interview, and get them working probably in about 5 to 12 working days. But now with the new rules and regulations, with everything else, it takes a minimum, I would say, of 4 to 5 weeks. So that would include, obviously, the interview, the filling out the application, the interview process. Then you have to go to classes, prepare for the CDL. So you have to take the 3 written tests. I know it's different from each state to state. You have to pass that. You have to take a class that's initial training. Not to mention, you have to wait for your physical to get completed, drug alcohol test, fingerprint background check, which is conducted by the FBI in some states. That takes at least a week. Then you have to finish up. Then you have to take a driving test. You have to take a road test. So, you know, that's the thing, too, is if people come in and they're looking for a job probably in the near future, within a week or so, they want to start working and making money. But now that's one of the issues with school bus drivers around the country is it takes, like I said, a minimum of 4 to 5 weeks. And I know some states are even longer than that to get them off through the interview process and all the way down the line. So it's hard to keep somebody that's going to be engaged, going to stay with the job, that's going to stay with the training and still work out and have that. So I think the most important drivers that are out there, any type of employee in the transportation market right now, is the employees that we have, the ones that have been working. But what people don't remember either, and a lot of districts don't, is that a lot of the drivers that we've had haven't worked since last March. And if you think about it, if they go back in January, many of these people would have been off a minimum of 9 or 10 months. That means they're not in the office. They haven't been here. They hadn't had a chance to renew their license, their physicals and things like that. They're probably rusty driving. And so it's going to be very difficult to get this kicked off in January. I mean, we're going to do it and we're going to do it safely, but it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the roles that NSTA plays is, you know, supporting role, for, you know, for companies like yours and overall for the industry. And one of the things that we were able to do was, you know, testify before Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and really put a pitch in for school bus drivers to be in phase 1B of the deployment of the COVID-19 vaccine. You know, I think it's one of the areas that folks probably underestimate, and that's the ability of companies like yours to have those bus drivers, you know, available. There's just a lot of moving parts that go along with it. And because you do it seamlessly, I think it's often underestimated and perhaps underappreciated.
No, for sure. And again, we're trying to, you know, we've discussed in the past, we want to make the drivers fully, you know, make them feel safe, that they're fully aware of what's going on. I know most of the people that are out there, we have found out that, you know, 90%+ of everybody wants to come back. We want to do everything in the industry to make them feel comfortable. And we real feel, you know, feel highly concentrated on making sure that the drivers, just like the teachers and anybody that has anything to do with school districts or schooling or in relationships with children, we really think it's a good idea that they are high on the list to make sure they get vaccinated as soon as possible. And so we want to make them feel comfortable coming back. We want to make the parents and the students feel comfortable coming back. And we think, you know, vaccinations for school bus drivers should be definitely high on the list for that.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, talk about your role as NSTA president with the American School Bus Council and all the activity that they are doing to promote school bus ridership. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit of the ASBC and some of the things that the organization is trying to do to promote yellow bus ridership?
Sure. So the American School Bus Council is a group of vendors, including the top three school bus vendors that IC Bus, our Navistar and Thomas Built Buses and Bluebird, as well as the NASDEPS, which is the association that includes all the state directors that provide all the information for school bus drivers around the country. So each state director is part of the NASDEPS. Then you have the NAPT, which is the association that includes all the school districts around the country and people that the districts where most of the buses come from in the country is school district run. And then, of course, you have the NSTA, which is our organization, which represents the contractors across the country. So you have everybody holding hands and working together as a group with the American School Bus Council. What we try to do is work through different issues, try to advocate for the yellow bus, which we all know is much safer than taking your child to school to and from your own automobile. And so we're promoting recently not only just the yellow bus and how safe it is, how it relates to the pandemic and how we're still just as safe and still the best choice of taking children to and from school. So we have come out recently with a couple videos, a couple advocacy segments on social media that has been really effective. Actually, we just had a meeting this week looking at some of the percentages we have with how effective it's been, but really trying to get out or reach out to the parents and to the school districts, letting them know, you know, re-relating them to the yellow bus. And again, telling them the features and the benefits for the yellow bus and why a child should be in a bus and why the parents should be advocating for the yellow bus in their area. So it's a constant ongoing campaign, I think, with the American School Bus Council, and that we're ongoing with a lot of things, trying to get more and more people to ride the yellow bus to school.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, there's been, you know, so much activity in the, you know, past year or so. It's unfortunate the pandemic did, you know, put a damper on a little bit, but I think we're going to try and at least deploy some of that, redeploy some of that information out so it could make its way into the hands of the folks who are, you know, who are looking for it. Now, as we close out, John, you're heading into your last 6-7 months of being NSTA president. Your term expires in July at our annual meeting and convention. You know, and I know that the pandemic has put a damper on some of the things that we're looking to do, but then it also provided opportunities and other things where we really were able to bring the industry together on things like the CERTS Act and the immunization for school bus drivers. But as you take a look down the road 6 months or 7 months, What do you see on the horizon? What can folks expect moving into 2021?
Well, I think, you know, like I initially said at the call, Kurt, and what we have talked, you know, the restart for January and the school bus as it pertains to the pandemic, getting students back to school, you know, getting the schools reopened across the country, getting the country back open. So, you know, I feel kind of, you know, as an obligation as well as kind of a goodwill to be passing out to, you know, as many people as that'll listen, is that I think getting the country restarted starts with getting students back to school. I think that's just part of it, but I think it's a big part of it that, you know, the parents need to get back to work, therefore the students need to get back to school. And, you know, we've been talking as the country has about getting back to some type of normalcy and more of a day-to-day routine. I think if you talk to a lot of different people, they miss the routine on a day-to-day basis of waking up and sending their students to school. If they have children going in the school age, going to work, working all day, coming home at the end of the day and completing their job. So to me, in the last 6 months is really going to just do whatever we can to help, you know, the community and help our industry get back to a day-to-day basis. And I think the commitment from the school is definitely there, and it sounds like it's going to start in mid-January, but the light is definitely at the end of the tunnel. The worst is definitely over, and so hopefully it's just going to be optimism, and again, my big push is going to be getting the kids back to school.
That's great, and I guess I'm putting one plug for the NSTA Midwinter Meeting Light, February 21st through 23rd. Normally, we have it around that Martin Luther King holiday that you mentioned, so it was probably good that we, you know, move things along to February in Safety Harbor, Florida, which is conveniently located near the Tampa airport. And I know that you're looking forward to you know, to having a live meeting, because it's going to be 1 year since we were in Scottsdale for, and that was in January of this year, for the midwinter meeting then. And so I know you're looking forward to engaging on a live person basis in Florida. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. And I think there's a lot of people that are ready to go. And there's nothing that can replace face-to-face meetings. But, you know, the last 12 months, Kurt, you and everybody in the industry, as well as the American School Bus Council and all our relationship with NAPT and NASDEPs and everybody else, we've done, I think, a pretty good job conquering a lot of issues that are out there, and which would totally have a lot more to do. But I think that we have, as an industry, as the Yellow Bus, we have, you know, done quite a bit working with promoting and taking care of some things, funding issues, and making sure we're ready to go when the students do go back to school. So, yeah, I agree. And I think everybody's looking forward just to seeing everybody and trying to get ready for whatever comes up in 2021.
Well, John, great talking with you once again. Our guest this week at NSTA, the bus stop, John Benish, COO of Cook, Illinois, and NSTA president. John, I wish you and your family a very happy holidays and nothing but health and happiness in 2021. So thanks for joining us at NSTA, the bus stop.
You got it. Thanks for having me very much. And you the same, Kurt, to you and your family too also.